Welcome to the broadcast of Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned after the message to find out how you can order a copy and learn more information about this dynamic ministry. Now, here's your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
We want to turn, first of all, to the sixth chapter of Isaiah. And I'm going to ask you to hold Hosea right after the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Wonderful, powerful testimonies. God can help you if you let Him. Why don't you ask the Savior to help you? Powerful testimonies. This afternoon, I'm going to challenge myself and challenge everyone that loves the Lord to adopt God's viewpoint, that is God's perspective. I'm going to ask you to shed your perspective, eradicate it, get rid of it, and accept what God has to say. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, this is God revealing to the prophet his judgment, his reluctant judgment. He does not want to pour out his wrath. His preference is for Israel to change their perspective. And so he reveals to Isaiah his burden, the thing that is oppressing him. And so in verse number 8, it says, "And also I heard the voice of the Lord," Isaiah said, "saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will represent us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Who will go for us? Who will bear the burden of the Lord? Instinctively, the prophet says, "Then said I, here am I, send me." The burden of the Lord. Hosea chapter 1. This is one of the more unusual books in the Bible because this has directly to do with a man's emotions. We know how strong emotions are. We know how dominating they can be. We know how emotions can prevail above our better judgment. And yet God is asking this prophet to cast all of his emotions in a particular area with no regards for how Hosea, with no regards for how he was going to deal with the difficulty, he obeys God. It's time for him to choose a wife at God's discretion. And God does not ask him who he wants to marry, but God tells him. And the reason God is not asking him who he wants to marry is because God wants to use his life, his feelings, his emotions to illustrate a truth concerning the nation of Israel. He's asking the prophet to sacrifice his own feelings and emotions for the welfare of carrying the burden of the truth. And what God is really doing through this prophet is looking at the nation of Israel and their unfaithfulness and their instability and their decadence and their sins. And so instead of just having the prophet go and prophesy to Israel, he's saying to Hosea, "I want your personal life to be a standard to illustrate physically how I feel towards Israel." Verse number 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. the beginning of the word of the Lord unto Hosea, and the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, the children of whoredoms, for the land have committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare a son. And the Lord said unto him, he's telling Hosea said, I will name the son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Said, now, prophet, I want you to name your son Jezreel, because I want him to be a visible representation that one day I'm going to allow Israel to be carried away and assimilated by the Assyrians. The reason why I'm telling you that, because I know the history, and the history is there. So he said, don't give him a name that is traditional. Don't name him after you, but I want his name to represent what I'm going to do. Now, he had already told Hosea, I want you to take a wife that would reflect the situation or the circumstances that existed in Israel today. Say, she has the characteristic of the people that I want to depict physically. So Hosea, the possibility exists that she's not going to be faithful to you. Her culture, it's in her. She's a generation of unfaithfulness. But still, I want you to marry her for my sake, because I want to use your life to illustrate a truth. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Say, that's it. No more compassion, no more repentance granted. Say, I want your daughter to reflect that I have reached the end of the ropes with Israel. Verse 7, and I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Said, but her sister, I'm going to be merciful, and I'm going to show compassion. But Israel, and I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by the bow, nor by the sword, not by the battle, nor by the horse, nor by the horsemen. The Lord said, I'm going to do it. Now, when she had weaned Lo-ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, the third child. Then said God, call his name Lo-ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. He said, this is a separation. So each one of Hosea's children represented symbolically something that God was going to do, a truth concerning the northern kingdom of Israel. They were the 10 northern tribes, and Judah was the 2 southern tribes. Verse number 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sea of the sand. Say, though I will allow them to be dispersed among the nations, yet their number will increase significantly as the sand, suggesting that God said that I will have mercy sometime in the future, which cannot be measured for number. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God, referring to the Gentiles. Let's go to verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together in that day, he's talking about, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, and great shall be the day of Jezreel. Then chapter 2, the events of his life shifted drastically, but not unexpectedly. Say unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Ramamah, plead with your mother. Plead This is the burden of the Lord. Plead with your mother, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. This is the threat, lest I strip her naked, and set her as the day that she was born, and make her as the wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Say, I'm warning her. I'm going to punish her. Say, I want you, the children, to plead with their mother. Say, mother, stop your whorems. Stop the adulteries. Verse 4, I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother has played the harlot. She has conceived them that have done shamefully. For she say, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my fat, my oil and my drink. God is saying in her heart, now remember, this is symbolic. Even though it is actually happening with Hosea's wife, she represents the status of Israel. Israel continually turned their back on God. And so he's pleading, the burden of the Lord is, somebody reach her. In my behalf, represent me, talk to her, try to persuade her. Make her to understand that I still love her, even though she has drifted time and time again away from me. So the prophet is feeling the burden of the Lord. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up the path with thorns and make a wall, and she shall not find her path. God is saying, I'm going to make it difficult for Israel. I'm going to make it hard for them. They're going to be strained. Nothing is going to be easy. He said, I'm doing all this is because I'm trying to restrain Israel, my people. Verse 7, and she shall follow after her lovers, but shall not overtake them. Say, even though she's going to pursue them, I'm going to make it so difficult that she will not be able to reach them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. God is saying, I'm going to make it so difficult for my people that they will not be able to accomplish the desires of the heart. So I'll let their lives be so strained that they'll come to their senses like the prodigal son and realize, say, I was better off with my first husband. And God will allow our lives to be so strained with such difficulty and oppression to make us come to ourselves and realize I'm better off serving God. So he's talking to Hosea about his wife, which is symbolically representing Israel. Verse 7 again, and she shall follow after her lovers, and she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better unto me than now. This is what God told the church of Ephesus in the second chapter of Revelation. He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Turn with me over here to verse number 1 in chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friends, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love fagons of wine. He's saying to Hosea, go get her. Go get your wife. Even though she's trying to find her lovers and she's unfaithful and she's an adulteress. She was an adulteress. She was a fornicator before I asked you to marry her. But he's saying, prophet, I know your emotions are shattered and you're broken because of her unfaithfulness, but I want you to go get her again. The prophet is bearing the burden of the Lord. He could not allow his emotions to dictate to him, because this was the Lord's burden that he was carrying. One of the reasons why many of us are not any more inspired to worship God or to do more for God is because we do not understand, nor do we carry the burden of the Lord. He asked the prophet Isaiah, say, whom shall we send? And who will go for us? And Jeremiah said, I'm here. I'm available. I'm at your disposal. Say, send me. I'll go. The Bible says the Lord looked over the multitude of the people, and he was moved with compassion. He said they were as sheep having no shepherd. Then he told the apostles, he said, pray to the Father of the harvest that he would send laborers into the vineyard. Said he had compassion on them. And the problem with most of us, we don't feel the love and the compassion that God has for a dying world. When you're so preoccupied with what you want to do and what you have to do, you don't have time for the things of God. And you don't feel how God feels. He says, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Lord says, I have no pleasure in the death of the unrighteous. We don't feel the Lord's burden. When the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life, we don't feel that burden of the Lord. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. That is, God is calling everybody to be saved. But we don't feel that burden of the Lord. When someone leaves the church, or someone falters, someone backslides, someone turns their back on God, we forget all about them because we don't feel the burden of the Lord. This is a time we should be asking the Lord, say, let me feel your burden. Lord, if nobody else wants to go, nobody else wants to represent you, nobody else wants to stand, say, Lord, I'll do it all by myself. This is why Paul the apostle, when the prophets had prophesied what was going to happen to him, and when the Spirit of God revealed to him how immensely he was going to suffer, he said, none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, because he felt the burden of the Lord. And the reason why Paul was able to endure suffering the way he did is because he carried the burden of the Lord. It was always in his mind. Paul the apostle said, I make myself all things to all men that I may save some. Why were you driven to make yourself all things to all men? Because he felt the burden of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you don't get the mind of God and the perspective of God and see things as God sees things, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he told the unbelievers, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And we're living in the very last days of the last moment. And the Bible, as I told you on Friday, it says hell hath enlarged herself, has opened her mouth without measure. Every day, thousands upon hundreds of thousands are going to hell with no recourse. And we don't even have any clue as to how God feels when a soul dies and is lost. We need to be praying, saying, Lord, change me. Lord, strip me of who I am and what I think I am, and all my plans that I have. Said, I want you to replace everything in me. Say, I want to bear your burden. I want to feel how God feels. This is why Paul the apostle said, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He was saying, it doesn't matter the price I have to pay. as long as I know that one day he will say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. When I told you about the biblical illustration I meant years ago, I said, if you have to die like a poor beggar called Lazarus, where the dogs came and licked his sores, die like Lazarus did, but make sure you go to heaven. Ah, brothers and sisters, it's time to make our callings and election sure. When I say that God needs laborers, God needs laborers not tomorrow, but he needed them yesterday and the week before that and the month before that and the year before that, because the laborers are fewer. I'm going to ask everybody the question that loves the Lord, who will bear the Lord's burden? First of all, let me rectify this thinking that you're not qualified. If you have a willing mind, you're qualified. That's all God is looking for. He's not looking for any credentials. He's not looking for any status, but he's looking for a willing mind. And right now, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is pure towards him. All you have to think about is say, Lord, I want you to use me. I know that I'm not qualified. I know I'm not what I ought to be. But I know what your word says. Your word says in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but some of wood and some of earth. Say, but those vessels of dishonor, it said, if a man will therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Say, Lord, I know that I'm not the way I ought to be, and I haven't proven myself as faithful as I want to be, but I still want you to use me. So, my God, if you want to use anybody, use me, Lord. Say, I know that I just transferred control of my life over to you. I still see what Jeremiah said when he told him to go down to the potter's house. Oh, yes, the wheel was in the potter's hand. The clay was in the potter's hand, and it was marred. It wasn't what the potter wanted to be. And the Bible said the potter remade it all over again. And Jeremiah heard the words of the Lord. Say, O house of Israel, cannot I do unto you as the potter has done unto the clay? I'm telling you this afternoon, the Lord can make you all over again. Somebody once said that he's a God of a second chance. I want you to know that he's a God of a thousand chances. God, as I said, if God has not given up on you, don't you give up on yourself. It doesn't matter how bad you fell. Doesn't matter how bad you feel inside. It doesn't matter about all the wasted years. Somehow or another, if you can just turn your mind around, somehow or another, it doesn't matter if you felt like the prodigal son. It doesn't matter how distant you feel from God. Somehow or another, if you can come to your mind, say, oh Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies. But yet again, I'm going to approach thy holy hill. Say, Lord, I've made you so many promises. I told you that I would never turn my back on you. I said if you gave me another chance that my mind was set. I've even had my hands to the plow looking back. You said I wasn't fit for heaven, but when I look where I'm at now, I see that you've kept me just the same. Mordecai told Esther, say, who knoweth except that thou hast come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I'm telling you that God has kept you for such a time as this. All he wants you to do is just turn around, change your mind, come to yourself, come unto me. The Lord wants you to bring your burden to him. He said, if you give me your burden, I'll place my burden on you. That means I've got to trust God for my circumstances. Lord, I've got a lot of crisis in my life. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. I've got some health issues. I don't know if I'm going to have a job and how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know if my children are ever going to get saved again. I don't know if I'm ever going to have a spouse. I don't know if my wife or my husband or my children are going to be saved, but I'm going to give you the burden. I'm going to lay it all on the altar. I want you to take charge. I'm tired of worrying. I'm tired of frustration. Take my burdens, Lord. Song says, bring him to the altar. Song says, dear Lord, I come withholding nothing. All I have is on the altar. Oh, Lord, send the fire. Send the anointing, Lord. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. If the prophet can give his life to God, if he can go take a wife that he knows is a whore, and then after he marries the wife, and the wife bears three children, she goes back and she commits whoredom again, and God tells the prophet, I don't want you to divorce her, so I want you to go get her. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, God is looking for you in the church. God has not cast you away. He says, I'm married to the backslider. Why don't you ask the Savior to help you? Why don't you ask? The Lord says, ask. You shall receive. Seek. You shall shall be open. Tell the Lord, not my mother, not my father, not my sister, my preacher, not my deacon, not my son, not my daughter, not my husband, not my wife, but it's me, oh Lord, me, oh Lord, me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Me, Lord, it's me, Lord, me, Lord, I need you. I need you to revive me. I need you to restore me. You to replenish me, restore the joy of my salvation. It's me, Lord. Oh, my Lord. It's me. It's me. I'm not looking at anybody else. I'm not worrying about nobody else. It's me, Lord. Take me back. Take me back where I first believed. Take me back where I first received you. Lord, I have no complaints. I'm not murmuring about anything. I must confess that I've been blessed. But still, my soul's not satisfied. Renew my strength. Restore my joy. Take me back. The prophet, if the prophet can bear the burden of the Lord, say, Lord, I want to bear your burden. I've tried to fix my burdens. I've tried to do everything I could with my burdens, but it don't work. Give me the burden of the Lord. Anybody want the burden of the Lord? Give me the burden of the Lord. Song says, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. So Lord, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. So I can't even help myself. That's what it's saying, I can't even help myself. But Lord, my eyes are ever towards the hills. I know where my help comes from. Does everybody know where the help comes from? The Lord can help you. God can help you. He will help you. If you let him, he'll help you. He'll help you right now. All you have to do is ask the Savior to help you. He's available. The Bible says our God is a present help in the time of trouble. He'll help you.
You've been listening to Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries. To order a copy of this message, please call 518-272-6679. That's 518-272-6679.
Alive and Remain Ministries is a part of the Redemption Church of Christ. You can visit on the web, redemptionchurch.net.
And don't forget to join Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Gospel Impact Radio.